So we recorded an emergency podcast yesterday in response to all the Twitter chaos, and I didn't get to releasing it until like now today, the next day. But now I have to do an extra emergency prelude to the emergency podcast. I just finished an online auction, and someone sent me the stream that Justin Salinger did on YouTube. He's shown the entire draft with real names. It's March 10th, right before the big Vegas drafts. He knows this is offside. He may say, fuck you, buddy, you've been offside for years. He hasn't seen offside yet. The best advice I can give you is, don't give me a reason. So I'll say this. These drafts, including the name and all my picks, the anonymity is what I have. That's what I have. You have your YouTubes, Patreons, whatever bullshit you got. Now, I also got into it with Vlad a couple days ago, maybe was it a couple weeks ago, as you may have seen on Twitter. These beat leagues, like the Beat Vlad, the Beat Eric Cross, the Beat Liz, they're all live streamed, in particular the FTN ones, and names are being shown. This is not cool, for the same reasons I mentioned above. Since then, the NFBC has complied with my request to remove those big sticker badges that you'll see on the pop up on top. Now, they'll remove the names on the top, but they'll also, but they won't remove the big sticker, so it sort of defeats the purpose. The Beat Chris List League today was great. He took off the big stickers and it was fine. Salinger didn't even try. He left everything on, talking about names and all this shit. So back to Vlad. He says to me, if you see the Beat whoever, expect no anonymity. So I basically say, you're getting a free league, first of all, and you're using it to promote the stuff you charge for. And you want to also use my name attached to the draft to further this and tell me that it's too bad and like you make the rules. Then he goes on to say that the person, being me, with the least integrity is complaining about integrity. Well, the more I think about that, you think I have no recourse? You think you can just make the rules because, you know, you can do whatever you want, right? What you say goes. What am I going to do about it, right? Well, here's a fucking warning to any industry sweetheart out there. You give away my valuable information, and I will give away your less valuable information. If during the preseason, my draft board with my name shows up on your YouTube, Twitter, Patreon, website, whatever. Now, you know what? I don't even think Salinger has any patience because, like, what could he possibly sell? Look, you're so desperate for attention, you have to show the entire draft for a couple hundred views on YouTube while you draft in what looks like a non-functional bomb shelter. The money you could possibly make off this wouldn't even pay for the 27 cigarettes you smoked during the draft. So you got nothing to lose, I guess. Or do you? If you want to post a draft board with all the names and you say you don't care, well, I guess you don't care if I posted your team names. So anyways, enjoy this emergency podcast, and I hope you enjoyed the prelude to the emergency podcast.
Welcome to the Draft Champions Podcast Emergency Edition. The battles were tremendous today, and Bjorn Masterson has a lot he needs to speak about. So sit back and enjoy the Draft Champions Podcast, brought to you by MLB. PlayingTime.com. Big ups to Sleepy K. Love you, kid.
Thanks, Donald. So, how you doing? We got Bjorn here. Got AG muted, but he'll chime in when we need him to. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Zach. I was just with all the Twitter action today about MLB Playing Time and Roster Resource. I knew we needed this emergency pod because I've been working on a product for a long time, and I just felt it was the right time to unveil it.
Okay, I'm ready to hear about it.
All right, so it's Bjorn's BatterBoys.com. It's going to be an incredible lineup resource. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a new spin on things. So besides right-handed hitting lineups, I also want to have left-handed hitting lineups.
Really?
I'm sorry, what?
That's an amazing idea.
Yeah, and I do want to give credit where credit is due. So, Mike Kurland, I know you had that, and I heard Roster Resources also going to have that. I do want to put, but I want to. I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but I also do want to add some extra bells and whistles to it that I think it'll make it really stand apart. And all that I ask is that if they would add something similar, just gives Bjorn's Batter Boys a shout out if they do that. So, like the burning question that I think everyone had on their minds this offseason is who is going to be filling Joey Votto's mouth this next season? And the answer is Toronto executive chef Nigel Batson. He's a hell of a chef, and I know Joey's very particular about what goes in his mouth, so I think Nigel is going to take good care of him. And that's kind of where the Batter Boys come in. It's cake batter, cupcake batter, those type of things. I know Philly's head chef, Keith Rudolph, makes sure that he makes a lot of foods that don't stick in the beards of the players on the Phillies. Just stuff like that. So diet, exercise, and then what kind of cake or cupcake batters they enjoy. Those are some of the notes that I'll have.
Fantastic.
Also then each morning I want to make so there's only 30 teams, but I figured we would start with the shortest player on each team, and that segment of the site will be called Bjorn's Baby Batter. So for example, Jose Altuve, he's 5'6", so he would be the baby batter for Houston. And I want you to start off every day by having Bjorn's baby batter in your eye. I don't think there's a better way that you could start the day. It's like wake up, roll out of bed, psh, baby batter in my eyes. So the smallest baby batter of all time was 1951, actually. It was Eddie Goodell. He was 3 feet 7 inches. He only appeared in one at bat, but basically a tuna can with arms and legs. God, I love Eddie. It's a great guy. Now, modern day, we have Alejandro Kirk. He's 5'8". He's more of a soup can of a man, just cylindrical, and he's great, but yeah, he's Toronto's baby batter. So those are just some of the features that we'll have on Bjorn's BatterBoys.com.
Is that on your Patreon or is it separate? Is it for, are you giving it away for free?
I am going to give it away for free. Actually, it's been up for about like maybe 24 hours now. Not a big deal if nobody's seen it or anything. I don't expect credit if it hasn't been seen, but yeah, it's just something that I've really had in the works for a long time, but I'm just coincidentally putting all this out now. So I think it's really lucky timing, actually.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm great to hear it. I'm glad to promote it for you, Bjorn. I think you're really an up and coming star in the fantasy world. I think is that what you really want to do, is become a fantasy analyst and become more part of the community?
Yeah, I do want to become more a part of the community, but I also want the community to just be a little more honest, I think, because I know we have a lot of secret fans and secret listeners of the show, and I love each and every one of you. I know you're out there, but in order to pay the bills for Bjorn's BatterBoys.com, we also have to do ads and promos and maybe like get into other business ventures. So also something I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get into the wrestling business, WWE. So I've written up a kind of a promo, if you will, something I would read on the air, before a big match, before I, oil up and get in the ring with another guy and we go at it. So if you don't mind, I'm just gonna just kind of just see if I can get the listeners fired up to come to the website. Okay.
Ready.
All right, yeah, I don't have a name for my character. Just picture him as like just a bad boy, almost like Razor Ramon, if you will. I was a big fan of his back when he was, in the ring and still alive. So, all right. Man, I haven't really decided what kind of voice I'm gonna do. Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. There's a lot of two-faced jackals in this business. There's the analyst who'll shake your hand in person, but he'll shit talk you all day and night behind those closed doors. You know what? I think we have some cowards listening to this very pod. And this message is for you. So lean in and listen up. You're the type of no good, crawl on your belly, snake. And you nod your head when your internet friends tell you, oh, you need to be offended by the DC pod. Those jokes are too aggressive, too abrasive. Yeah, I hate those guys, you snivel to your holier-than-thou friends. But I know you. I know what you really are. You can't wait to hop in that electric car and turn on the DC pod the minute it's released. We are your favorite filthy secret, and you're always welcome here. But I want you to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, someday I want to be a man.
That's great.
Well, you know, hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and also just getting back, I know this is just a quick emergency pod, getting back to bjornsbatterboys.com, or as I like to call it, BBB. What I'm hoping to do with BBB is wipe the Better Business Bureau off the map. I want to be the BBB that comes up on Google search, not those hacks, those no-talent clowns at the Better Business Bureau who shut down the wiggle room based on false accusations and false complaints from other strip club owners who are entirely jealous. You might remember an organization called WWF. It used to be the World Wrestling Federation, but the World Wildlife Fund sued them into oblivion in 2002, and they had to change their name completely, and that's what I'm going to do to the Better Business Bureau. So I'm coming for you. Bjorn's Batter Boys is... We're going to be coming for you hard and fast, and just we won't stop.
That's what I like. I like a good lineup war. We should definitely be warring over where we look at the batting orders. It is one of the most important things out there right now.
Yeah. There is room for everyone, but as long as I have the head seat at the table. I mean, there's only one head seat, and then there's sides, and they can sit on the sides, and the Bjorn gets the first cut of the meat.
I see. You're right. I see it as Bjorn's baby batter, and then like everything else is auxiliary, like the MLB playing time and whatever that roster or something, whatever that is. Right. Those are sort of. Slide footnotes, I think is the best way to put them.
Well, sure. I mean, the Wright brothers invented flying, but I'm not going to get in their plane today, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to get in something a little more modern if I'm going to go over the ocean. I'm not going to get in a rusty bucket of bolts and nuts. Not that those are sights are that, but Bjorn's Batter Boys, we're going to be the best.
Right on. Nice. AG, what's up, buddy? You here? You want to talk?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. That was really something, Bjorn. Now, let me ask you a question, Bjorn. If by chance someone else puts a batter boy on their lineup after you unveil this, are you going to go to war with them?
Like if they just start dropping notes from Toronto executive chef Nigel Batson about like how they cook their fish and stuff, yeah, I mean that will get me pretty riled up. If they give me credit, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, or at least acknowledge that I exist. That's all I'm really looking for.
Okay, and what if somebody subtweets it and don't even copy you or anything? They just make a comment on their own and you find out about it. What will you do?
I'm not as familiar with, I know some sub and dom language, but as far as subtweeting goes, yeah, that's interesting. Like when you clearly know it's directed at one person, but you don't direct it at that person. I don't understand the thought behind that. I assume you're referring to what was going on between Mr. Vlad and Mr. Curlin today. But yeah, you see that sometimes. It's interesting.
What do you think about everything that happened today, you guys?
Well, I think everything that happened today, first of all, Bjorn's Batter Boys was rolled out, which is probably the most important thing. I'm also interested in becoming a professional wrestler. So that's about the sphere of my world and my interests. So I think it was a great day.
Now, do you practice every day wrestling?
Yeah, I do.
Who do you practice with?
Well, sometimes just with myself, and a jar of Vaseline and a rope. You know, there's always strength exercises, agility exercises, anything you can do.
This is interesting. What about you, Zach? What did you think today?
Any comment? It's pretty entertaining, obviously.
I have to tell you, the best part of the whole thing, I don't even really, really care, is when Trump makes comments out of the blue. I just can't get enough of it. And I know
the fish's Trump thing was probably the funniest thing I've seen all year, whatever it was, this morning, first one.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. He's mastered it.
Yep.
And really, I just want something to happen so that he'll do the Trump. That's really it.
I don't know. I think what it comes down to is, in this world of 7 billion people, we're not obligated to like everyone. And it would be disingenuous to say that we liked everyone. So I don't really have a problem when people have spats on Twitter or whatever. I had to go over to my friend's house the other day, and I just don't like her husband. But I still, I tolerate it and I hang out there. My wife and I went over there. We spent an hour over there, and I don't want to do it again. So I'm not going to do it again.
Love what he's just doing today. He's just speaking from the heart. He told, what did he say to Zimmerman? He said, basically told him to fuck off, essentially. I didn't see what Zimmerman wrote.
I guess the question I have between that with great. That is, why did Zimmerman comment? What did he have to do with anything?
Yeah. Why are we talking about this?
We're just like discussing it, but I didn't like comment to him.
Are we like that after hour? Why do I keep relating it to like the Real Housewives? Are we like that? Mark Cohen, the gray
yes,
hair.
The after show where we just analyze what just happened.
What would you call it?
No, like, the reason Zimmerman and Curlin have a long-standing feud. From like 2 years ago, Mike was giving out information on spring training stuff, and Jeff essentially, he didn't subtweet Mike. He directly quoted Mike and said, "I can't wait to get in draft rooms with people that use this kind of information." It was like shots fired.
So that's why he did.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, that's another thing where Mike stood up for himself and said, you know, "Hey Jeff, you're an asshole." And Jeff is like, "Yeah, I don't care." And that's, Jeff doesn't care if he's an asshole.
I got you. I didn't know there was a previous history. Well, anyway, I promise you this, it's all going to blow over. It's all not worth anybody getting too upset about. But I do think credit needs to be given to Curland. He's working his butt off. He's trying really hard. He just also needs to maybe not take everything so personally and just work his butt off and do his thing, because his thing is working. But when he gets caught up in the tornado of drama that really isn't, I mean, I know he wants credit and he doesn't want, you know, other
maybe
people.
Maybe the whole drama, maybe it's premeditated. I mean, like Curlin, like
maybe.
Whatever he was doing today, whatever he did today, he should just keep doing every day. Because
you know what? They say
I would never get anything
it doesn't
out of
matter good or bad as long as they're talking about you, right?
Yeah, and like Trump said, he's done a great job of monetizing the beef, right? So he's got Twitter blue and like probably got thousands of views, this like argument. So he's actually making money off of arguing, which is fantastic for him.
Well, as long as nobody's really, truly upset, it's fine.
You know, I've noticed, and like I used to like I guess you'd say part of the community. I don't consider myself really like a fantasy analyst type person at all.
No, you're more of a player who just kind of shares things from time to time. You're not really in the
No,
business of
I don't
like
consider, people
helping
think I am
everyone.
that, but I'm not. And like I started off as like down that path, and then once I got to know how it works, I quickly, fairly quickly realized, no, this is not beneficial to me. This is not going to be good. And I noticed that people don't get along, but it's because it's always because somebody feels threatened by the other person in terms of threatening them to take over like the content, which would impact them financially or impact their
Right.
status. It's always
Right.
like it's a financial and status jockeying thing with everyone.
You,
And I just
you're dead on.
I don't want to, and that's that. Sorry, I just dropped something. But and that's when I really quickly realized, like, I don't want to play, like, I don't want to work in a place where I'm like always like in competition with someone, like with, and then it's going to be decided based on political shit. I don't want, like, I want everything based on merit. It's not merit based. It's just very political, and it's just something like I do not want to be a part of at
Yeah.
all. It's never going to
Yeah,
change. So
it's a very
but I love fantasy baseball. So the only way I can really stay, and this is, I guess, talking from my point of view, the only way I can really stay engaged with it and talk to the people like you that I like and I'm friends with and many others is just to sort of just make a complete joke of it, because it like I can't take it seriously based on what I just basically I've explained why.
I don't think it necessarily matters, but like and I know Zach doesn't care about engagement at all, and I don't really care about engagement at all either, but I can almost guarantee every single episode the amount of like private messages or where we get are gonna far outnumber the actual number of likes or we tweets anything. And that's because like even if there is like 95%, all right, that was a pretty clean episode. Zach is going to throw in a couple comments that are just scorched earth. And like, I think
Yes.
people view that as if they're like, man, if I like this, I am endorsing that one joke about X doing
That's
this
right.
or, you know,
That's right.
and like, that's where like, I understand it's a joke and I don't, you know,
It's always
so let me say this.
I
Let's
don't
say,
wait hold
go
on
ahead.
I just I don't even really know how far the podcast reaches. Sometimes people say like tell me like oh you can't say that. You realize like what you said like is damaging. I'm like no one really listens to this podcast. And they're like, "Yo, you'd be surprised. People listen to it." But like the thing is like you don't really like when you post it, you don't really get many likes. So like I'm always taken aback when like some random person messages me like, "Oh yeah, I listen to that." Or I'll be in a draft room and somebody's like, "Oh, hey Waxman, like we listen to your podcast." I'm like, I get that a lot, but it doesn't really might get like 4 or 5 likes on Twitter. But I think you're right. I think people are they don't want to like be associated with it.
Well, you're such a like polarizing, controversial figure, I think intentionally, Zach, that people even I mean, you are my friend, okay? You'll always be my friend unless you don't want to be my. So we're friends, and I don't really
Yes, I
care what
agree.
you do. You're my friend anyway. But truthfully, some of the shit you'll put out there, I'll be like, "Oh boy, that was a fucking doozy." And the problem is, even if people think it's good or funny or whatever, it's like a perception. If I like that, is everybody gonna think that I would do that? I would say the same thing, or I think the person he's been making fun of, I don't like them. So people just withdraw from the situation
Yeah, but
because it's so
I
controversial.
actually do not care about likes and my
Right.
podcast rating. I guess unique in that way where like I'm like everyone pretends maybe not to care as much, but I actually do not care
I know
because
you don't.
Because I'm not making any money off this. I do this because I enjoy it. We're having a podcast now because I enjoy talking to you guys and I think it's fun. But that's why I don't. I'm not on a schedule. I'm not doing it every day. I'm not doing it every week. I do it when I can, and this is something that I enjoy. And I get to talk to people that like are really good players, and I get to learn from them, which is true. It's not just a bullshit thing. But that's why I do it, and that's why I guess it is the way it is. And it's like it's the one I guess podcast where you can just say shit like that. But a lot, I'd say 99% of it is just like more roasting. More often than not, like if I'm sort of like busting someone's balls, it's like they're really someone that like I listen to. And if I'm like sort of mimicking their podcast, like I respect them and I listen to their podcast. And it's more like I've spoken at most of my friends' weddings, and just like, and they're like, yeah, you gotta like, I want you to speak because they just want to get roasted, and it's fun to like just fucking razz your friends, right? And that's sort of how I think of it. Yes, granted, there are times where like I will like throw like a fucking haymaker at someone that I actually like can't stand. I will do that at times too, but most of the time I'd say it's just like razzing your friends, and like maybe they don't realize it, like I consider like maybe that we're not friends, but like I respect them in terms of the space. So that's really where I'm coming from. But yeah, granted, there are times where like I'll fucking throw something at someone that's just like a fucking super annoying person, and I'll just make a joke at them. But most of the time it's it's either surrounded, it's about fantasy baseball, it's about their podcast about fantasy baseball. It doesn't really get personal usually. I'm sure there's been times where it's been like
it shouldn't be personal. It should not be personal.
There's been times where it's outside the scope for sure, but yeah.
What people don't understand is that if you stopped the podcast tomorrow, you would still go on the Zoom calls and you would talk to these guys X number of times a week and your life would be fine. And like it was probably a year ago we were joking about should Bjorn, you know, should he die? Is Bjorn done with? And it's just like, I don't know. If I was dead and I never appeared on a pod again, that, you know, that's how life goes. I don't give a shit.
Well, we could kill off Bjorn. And like, Aaron, yeah, you know, you're welcome. Like, we should just, I'm almost like, you don't give yourself enough credit for like what you can take, what you can bring to a podcast without Bjorn, because like, I could see you coming out of the character, and like, it's sort of like you're like, it's Bjorn, but it's also your sense of humor. And I think it would still be like, it would still be super funny, just you. Like, you could, you don't need the character.
Right.
I don't think you need the character. I think it could be just you. The character was sort of developed along with Rick, who was obviously developed by someone that's not me, but that's not here right now. But it was really developed because of what I said before, just like, I don't want to be part of like the whole like circle jerk. So I'm like, but I do like the fantasy baseball. I do like the people, but for me to maintain my sanity, I can't take this seriously. So we need to bring an element of non-seriousness, and these characters are sort of parodies on the actual people in the space, but not anyone specific, but they're sort of a mix of the people in the space, and we're sort of parodying it because I don't know, it's like we can't I don't want to leave
the space. Parodies are just an extreme version of actual things. You know, it's taken to the 10th degree. I don't know. What you don't know about me, Bjorn, is that I'm actually trying to steal the life of someone named Aaron. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Talented Mr. Ripley. That's why our voices sound so similar. It's a lot of our mannerisms are so similar. We're actually two separate people. You've never you wouldn't know that necessarily, but yeah.
Well, this was a good pod. I think we got through a lot of
good baseball content on it.
Well, you probably should. Just
this podcast kind of sucks. If we're gonna actually release this shit, we're gonna release all of this. Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's discuss. What about all these injuries that are hitting? I think Sheehan went out today. Who else? Who else released today? Newt Barr, who else?
Jameson Taillon. obviously my
I
take.
own.
Man, I feel like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but my teams have just got decimated by all these like injuries. I had 33 shares of Noelvi Marte, 33 shares.
My God.
And I could even have some shares like in the oven right now. When I mean in the oven, like in incomplete drafts. I had, when Mauricio got injured, for he went out for the season, I had like 50% shares of him. Who else was there? I was lucky to have no Bradish,
Yeah.
zero Bradish. I was lucky for I'm lucky on that one, so I guess I can't complain about everything. But what else? There's been other ones. I have no Taiwan too. He's I don't think that's a serious one. I got a ton of Sheehan. Got a ton of Sheehan. I was liked him a
That's
lot.
really the so first of all, there's just no possible way we can go from early November till now without having been doing drafts. Any of us, I mean, any, I suppose some people maybe wait until Christmas or a little after to kind of dive into some stuff, but you're going to get hit with some of this. Like when these guys randomly go out like this, whether it's a suspension or an injury, it's, I mean, unless you're just super lucky, it's going to get you. And if it doesn't get you now, it'll get you next week. Somebody else is going to get hurt next week. So it's
Oh,
terrible
Baz is
because
another one. I
short.
guess
Yes.
I can blame myself for that, but it's just they're
Well,
not
the only
disastrous.
way around it would be to not draft until the very end of draft season, which is a terrible
Yeah,
idea for me, you know.
I saw someone float the idea that Blake Snell could go on a short-term deal, and then someone gave a rebuttal that, you know, it would cost them, I believe, two draft picks. So why would they give him like a 1-year deal? So like, if could he be a case? I thought there was another pitcher sometime who didn't sign until after June or whatever to avoid that
Wouldn't
company's
though if Snell
a
signed a
draft.
1-year deal, wouldn't it cost the Angels one draft pick this year? But when he went and signed somewhere else, if they give him a qualifying offer at the end of this year, wouldn't they get it back?
Yeah, I guess I don't know how that works, but
You could be
as
delayed
we
a
get
year.
farther and
I don't
farther into
know.
spring, it makes me wonder like what Snell is gonna end up doing.
I don't
Like,
know.
could you see a situation where he doesn't pitch until July?
Yeah, I could see it because he seems like an idiot. He could do something like
That's
irrational.
just, I would say that's such a low chance.
Yeah, what if I told you at this time last year that Wander Franco would be facing 2 to 5 years in prison?
Well, I think they're, yeah, of course,
Yeah, I guess.
that's.
Yes, you
Who
can't compare the
was
two situations.
who made the pedo joke that both Wander Franco and Noelvi Marte are pedos? Like PED, and
Oh.
then who said that?
I didn't see that one.
I didn't
I don't
see
know. Somebody
that.
DM'd it to me. Oh, I
But I
know. I
will
remember.
say this.
I know who it is now. But I don't know if he wants me to say.
Well, don't say it if it's pedo stuff.
Well,
The only
you
thing I could tell you is right now we're coming into probably the most expensive drafts that everybody's going to do. That's doing an FBC. So if you've been hit with injuries, at least it's not, April 1st right now that it's hitting. So you've got a little time to make things right. If you haven't been hit with injuries, just make sure to keep diversifying because they're coming and they're coming for all of us. And so you just don't
those.
want to strike all your teams down with one guy. Which has happened to me before, pretty much. So,
Yeah,
try to spread it out, you know.
I was so invested in Marte, and I was so invested in Mauricio. Like, at least Mauricio I caught
That was
before.
pretty early.
It's
Yeah.
fairly early, but I think I was like 5 of 10 DCs that I had him on. And then Marte, I'm like 50% exposure in OCs. And I've done a lot of OCs, so I'm pretty bad there. Like, he's like a 15th round pick, so it's like in those
Yeah.
OCs, it's not the end of the world. You can
Are you
definitely,
going to or you don't have to say, I guess, but are you thinking you might drop him in the OCs? Yeah.
I
I
think
would say, yeah.
I would drop him. I did an online auction tonight, which is a 15 teamer, and he didn't even get drafted in the reserve rounds, so that
Yep.
should indicate if I'm not willing to draft him in the reserve rounds. Well, I did take a bunch of other stashes, which really limited me. He didn't fit my team because I was had a lot of third base, and I had a lot of stashes already, so I couldn't really take him. But I don't know.
I could also see them saying, okay, you got 80 games. Now you can play baseball again. We need you to go to the minors and get your shit together for a few weeks or a month or something.
That could definitely happen.
So he might not be up till August.
It just sucks though, because he was just undervalued because he was
yes.
third base, got some speed at third base, top prospect, good park. He's probably going to gain position eligibility. Like, I think he would probably, I think I could see him playing some second base too. And then like, just compare him to like Lankford. Like Lankford's like going in the seventh round now, and you could still get Marte in like the 11th or 12th.
The funny part is I just had
a it was such a good like relative value because they're all prospects. Like, we don't have a lot of sample size for all of them, but we know Marte was going to, we also knew he was going to start in the major leagues. He was just such a good value relative to like the Churio and the Lankford and like the prospects that were going ahead of him, even like the Evan Carter. Was Evan Carter ever going ahead of him? Kind of ridiculous. But he probably was. He probably did get taken ahead of him in several drafts. He was just such a good value. And obviously I wasn't going to show my hand before that, but I fucking loved Marte this year.
Yeah. It's sad because he didn't even get hurt. It's just a shit deal.
Well, he got hurt in winter with his hamstring. And people are speculating that's why he took the steroids.
I agree with Graham. What Graham was saying today on Twitter, I think he was probably just trying to get back sooner than later, and he probably took some shit to heal up faster.
Yes.
That's the same with the Tatis, right?
And it seems like the PED
They don't learn their lesson.
Like, well, I think the PED stuff happens to a bunch of guys in out of the country, where they think they can get away with it. Somebody in Dominican Republic or wherever tells them this is fine, you're not going to get caught, it'll help you heal quicker. Such and such took it and he didn't get caught, whatever. And then they get clipped and there's nothing they can do. I mean, they're done. But this is the other thing we were talking about. I think Dave mentioned this today, and I agree with Dave. I think the Reds probably knew he tested positive in November, maybe, or December or something, or maybe even January. But they signed Candelario when? December?
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
So they might have said, this kid's gone half the year, and let's just say we really don't know how it's going to go. We need to make other arrangements here. We've got a team that's ready to pop. And we can't have Marte derail the whole thing. Let's pick this guy up.
I think they do get notified early.
Yeah.
I remember the Chris Colabello on the Jays when he got popped. I think they knew. He knew. I remember they interviewed him, and he knew like in advance, I'm pretty sure. That he got popped.
For the Brewers.
There must be a procedure where they notify you, hey, sir, you've tested positive for PEDs, and there must be some sort of they must have to verify it.
An appeal process.
Privacy. Yeah, I sort of gave Dave shit, and I just like to give him shit, obviously, because it's fun.
No, that's fine, but.
I give him shit because he's saying the team must have known about this. Like, what do you think? But then I gave him shit because he drafted Marte, so he's like saying, "Oh, they must have put the pieces together. They have so many different players that don't have enough positions right to play. So what do you think is going to happen?" So I'm like, "Well, then why'd you draft him?" But like, it's like you can't. It's like say like, "Oh, people should have known," but.
There's no way to see that. I mean,
you couldn't have possibly known that, but I guess it's like, it's all hindsight, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. But anyway, to wrap it all up, don't take yourself too seriously on Twitter. Don't take everybody else too seriously. Don't get too caught up in it. It's fake. It's all bullshit. It's fake. I mean, the bullshit on Twitter is fake. It's fake. What you do in real life is important. And if you're producing content, just keep working hard. It's fine. Don't pay too much attention to Twitter. It will go away on its own unless you feed it.
Who's your biggest avoid going into Vegas? Which player do you think is going way too high? Which player won't you be drafting?
So, if I have to pick one,
you'd have to fall like three rounds for you to take it. Give me some of the that would have to fall like three rounds.
So I have zero Snell, and I probably won't have him because he doesn't fall far enough for me. Right. But that's
would
really
you,
more
would you
like
take
that.
Round, would you take him in round eight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Aaron,
absolutely.
Well, AJ, you can regroup and think of someone. But Bjorn, do you have someone that you just wouldn't draft?
Mike Trout. Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I don't care where he goes. Because I have a baseball sickness, I've drafted 150 other drafts. I love playing on the NFBC, but I also do some scratching of my draft itch other places. And I've spent 150 hours drafting on another site, 150 drafts, and I have zero Mike Trout, and I will not be changing that.
You can say the site. You don't want it?
No, not at this time. I don't want. Not that NFBC players don't know about the site, but I don't want you people coming there. You're not welcome. Leave the site for me. because I do
I'll
think that
on it.
I think that NFBC players would do quite well on that site.
Yes, I agree.
So okay, we won't go to RT Sports.
Did you think of a real avoid that's like you'd have to drop three rounds for you to take him? Because Snell couldn't drop that. Snell would drop. You take him to the seventh.
Yeah, let me think here.
I don't even have one off the top of my head either. I'm just putting it on
the
spot.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like we
you
should
caught
talk
me
some
off guard.
If we're going to be publishing this, we should talk some baseball.
This has moved on from emergency pod to full pod.
What's the opposite of an emergency?
I don't know.
Precautionary?
Ho-hum. Like normal.
Boring. Yeah.
Every day.
This has turned into a boring podcast.
Well, I mean, at this point.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is whether or not anyone listens to it this far doesn't hurt
at this
you at
point,
all.
You know what we should do? We should drag it on and just make people keep
listening.
The
only person listening to it, like no one's listening to this anymore. Like the only person like sad enough to listen to this still is like probably like Yancey. He's the only person listening to this at this point.
Who's somebody, just because I want to ask you, who's somebody that you have zero shares of so far? Doesn't mean you won't take them in Vegas or whatever. Who do you have zero of so far? Just one guy. And somebody normal, not somebody in like the 500.
Off the top of my head, you might Bradish I had zero of just because we were talking about him.
Okay.
I'd have to check my shares. This one might surprise you if it's true. I don't know because I played a lot of different formats. I played Best Ball, Gladiator. I'm gonna check if this one.
Do AJ?
This one's
do
true,
you think
might be a surprise?
Do you think Gossman
I got
is
one
really
share
healthy?
Of him?
Who do you have one share of?
In a Best Ball, Bobby Miller.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Is that one on purpose or just like? Just happened that way.
AG, I'm in like 120 leagues. I have one share of them. Do you think it's on purpose or not? Do you think that's an accident? Or the odds of that an accident?
Who was it? I was doing an OC last night or two nights ago. And I knocked it out. And I hadn't gotten my first or corner and it was getting late. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take Rizzo. I don't think I have much Rizzo, and I'm just going to give him a shot. I think he's going to hit fourth until he dies, and he'll be fine, you know. And he got taken before me. He got taken in the round, you know, a few picks before mine. And I thought, it's okay. I mean, I don't know what. And I checked and I have zero Rizzo, which surprises me because I don't dislike him. I just, for whatever reason.
I can tell you the reason that you don't have him. His name is DuPont. He's wormed his way into your head.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess my point is I have 60 drafts and didn't know that I had zero of him. And I'm including Gladiators, zero, which is just surprising because I haven't been drafting first baseman early this year. So weird.
He was really good before his concussion.
Yes, he was.
But you know who else was really good before his concussion? He was an MVP caliber bat, is Justin Morneau, and he never bounced back after his concussion. That was a disaster for his career.
Yes. Didn't he get a concussion sliding into second? Like a knee to the head or something?
Yeah, it was weird. I don't remember the exact way that it played out. I was actually just thinking about him the other day. It's weird that he came up as a catcher.
He did?
Yeah, and then he moved to first.
Well,
so my weirdest real baseball story is I think it was the year 2000, 2000 or 2001. And I had an old school Polaroid camera. And I was at County Stadium for a Brewers game. And Ricky Henderson was there. He's my favorite player. So I ran up. He was signing balls and stuff before the game. I took a picture with the Polaroid camera. You know, it came out. It's developing and stuff. And then I run 10 feet down the line, and then I hand him a picture of himself signing autographs at the game today. And he just looked at me like I was from another planet. It was the greatest interaction. He just starts laughing and like, man, that guy was worth so much money at that time. I mean, you know, relatively speaking, and just for him to be signing baseballs and how much he loved interacting with fans and stuff. It was really cool.
All right. Do you want to wrap this up, boys?
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll get my boy Donnie to send us out here.
Thank you for listening to the Draft Champions podcast. Please rate and review the podcast and follow us on Twitter. Please DM us if you are struggling with mental health. Let's make fantasy baseball great again, and subscribe to Bjorn's Baby Batters.